The following podcast is provided to you free, as is all our content, at drhoffman.com. If you'd like to listen, help support Intelligent Medicine, and get great values by shopping at our supplement store, go to drhoffman.com and click on Shop, then click on the store. Thanks, and enjoy the podcast. Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today we're going to talk about an important aspect of freedom of expression when it comes to healthcare information. The information that you receive should not be exclusionary. It should not be tightly regulated by the government. There needs to be access to healthcare practitioners of your choice. And a leading advocate for that principle and a courageous crusader is today's guest. She's Corinne Bush. She has a Master's of Science, and she also has a CNS degree. We'll talk a little bit later about what that entails. She's a clinical nutritionist, author, and leader of nonprofit organizations serving the mission of transforming health through nutrition. She practices at the Far Hills Integrative Pharmacy. That's a compounding pharmacy and wellness center in Bedminster, New Jersey. And her specialty is the use of nutrition in allowing healing in complex and chronic diseases. Importantly, she serves on the board of directors of the American College of Nutrition, and she is vice president of the Board for Certification of Nutrition Specialists. Now, that is important because the Board for Certification of Nutrition Specialists, the CBNS, is an organization that campaigns for access to health information that is, shall we say, uncensored, unregulated by the government, which might try to force you to obtain your health information from a very, very narrow-focused group. So we'll talk a little bit about her efforts and a recent series of victories for health freedom. Corinne, welcome to Intelligent Medicine.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here, Ron.
It's my pleasure. So first of all, tell us a little bit about the Board for Certification of Nutritional Specialists.
Okay. Well, we, as you said, it's the Board for Certification of Nutrition Specialists, where we do a couple of very, very important things, in my opinion, for the nutrition profession. One is that we grant an advanced degree credential. It's called the Certified Nutrition Specialist. And it's really the gold standard for advanced level professionals in nutrition.
It's the so-called CNS credential. And it's a credential which I'm very proud to append to my MD. I'm an MD, CNS. And it's a wonderful credential which certifies that you have attained a little higher level of proficiency in a specific area of expertise, which is nutrition.
Exactly. And then the second piece of it, which I think is equally important, is that we are working very hard towards a fair and robust and meaningful nutrition field where all can practice to the level of their training. So we don't believe that the CNS credential is the only credential that should be mandated either, and that others should be left out. We recognize that this ailing America needs more nutrition care and not less. And so that's a big part of what we're about, and I can talk a little bit more about our advocacy efforts. And to your point, it's true that the BCNS credentials with the CNS credential, all health professionals with advanced nutrition skills, not only clinical nutritionists. So this distinction is for physicians like you, Ron, and physicians assistants and pharmacists and just a wide gamut of health professionals who meet our very rigorous requirements.
Well, you know, some people may say, well, why is this necessary? I mean, it's nice to tack up a new certificate or put some letters after your name. But we can envision a scenario by which you, Corinne Bush, who has earned a master's degree, an advanced graduate degree in the field of nutrition, might be prevented from offering nutritional advice and counseling to patients in your state of New Jersey, or perhaps in a hospital setting, they might say, hey, you don't have the credentials, even though you might have undergone years of additional training, advanced training in the field of nutrition that other individuals who are allowed to dispense nutritional advice to patients in hospital may not have even obtained.
Exactly. And in fact, that's what brought me up short in about the year 2008 when I was made aware that there was a bill in the legislature in New Jersey that would bar me from practice potentially. And so that's what spurred me to really take a look at the national landscape and to figure out a way that I could become involved and make a difference in this issue.
Right. And so this is an area where I've been involved. I was on the board of what was then called the CBNS. Now I think it's the BCNS in a previous incarnation earlier in the 1990s and early 2000s. And we were advocates for extending this credential to as many people as qualify, but also to make it a meaningful credential, because it's one thing to say I've got this, couple of letters after my name. But if it's not politically recognized by states, by the federal government, it doesn't amount to a hill of beans.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And so recently, you've achieved some milestones in recognition of this credential. So tell us a little bit about that.
So, it's been a really awesome 5 years as we've had a lot of success. But in the year of 2014 has really seen a lot of things unfold. So starting in January, we were recognized by the Department of Labor in their Occupational Outlook Handbook, and it's published by the Bureau of Labor and Statistics. So this is a wide gamut of professions that we can look up and see what they're all about, what is the occupational outlook for that profession and the standards of care and that kind of thing.
Are you saying that there was, prior to that, there wasn't a recognition that there was such a field as a nutritionist than registered dietitians?
Well, prior to that, in that Occupational Outlook Handbook designation, dietitian and nutritionist, the standards discussed and the professionals discussed were almost solely registered dietitians. So it talked about the AND, the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, and how one would become certified through them, and very, very little, it was a paucity of information on the nutrition profession. And so BCNS worked with the BLS, the Bureau of Labor and Statistics, to really let them know what the nutrition profession was all about, and so now we have parity in the nutrition and dietetics designation there, and in fact the CNS credential is listed as the credential for advanced nutrition professionals. And so there's a link to our credential, just as there had only been a link to the registered dietitian credential previously.
Do we have a problem with registered dietitians? Because I remember one of the originators of the movement of the CNS certification and what was then called CBNS, the Certifying Board for Nutritional Specialists, was the late Sherry Lieberman, who was a gal who actually has been a previous guest on Health Talk, the previous name of this program, a frequent contributor and a great figure in the field of nutrition. She was a registered dietitian, and she ran afoul of her professional organization because she had innovative ideas about the scope of nutrition. She was constantly talking about vitamins and supplements, and she was talking about nutraceuticals, and she had a very, progressive view of the role of nutrition, not just in preventing disease and preventing malnutrition, but also in as a therapeutic modality to treat diseases. And she actually got in a snit with the registered dietitians. They wanted to oust her. She fought back. She won a legal battle with them. And then she went on to be one of the originators of CBNS. So are the registered dietitians the problem? Is there a food fight going on between CNS and are the RD organizations?
Well, now there's a distinction there, right, between registered dietitians and their organizations. So there is absolutely no fight involved with CNS or BCNS. with the registered dietitians, and we're proud to have registered dietitians among our ranks. And Sherry Lieberman was certainly a groundbreaking person to have as a founder and board member of the BCNS, or then CBNS. But it's the AND, so the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, formerly and for many years the American Dietetics Association, a very large and wealthy and therefore powerful organization that has worked very assiduously over about the past 30 years to circumscribe the profession of nutrition to only themselves. So here we have one subset of a profession proclaiming that they should have have the whole thing locked up, and only their designees should be able to talk about nutrition. And we know that in some states it still remains illegal to practice nutrition without an RD designation.
Yeah, it's not just against the regulations. It's illegal. You can actually be criminally prosecuted, and some
exactly.
people have, for dispensing nutrition information if they don't have the RD certificate after their name.
That's right.
Yeah. So this reminds me a little bit of the turf battle between the American Medical Association and the chiropractors, or alternatively, now there's a turf battle in some states between regular MDs and naturopathic physicians who they view as outside the scientific model, or perhaps a little bit too progressive in their views of medicine, or perhaps they may view them as potential competitors.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's exactly right. And so I think the difference is that when we're looking at the nutrition field, and so the BCNS has been a leader in going into the states and meeting the AND in the states. And in fact, we've had in the past 5 years, we've had 13 states where we did just that thing, and we were able to overturn or derail monopolistic licensing laws in the states. And so it's kind of hard to argue when we let legislators know the kind of background that we must have to earn the CNS credential, which is a minimum of a master's degree, PhD, MD, 1,000 hours, very rigorous supervised experience, and then a clinical nutrition science exam.
Which I'll tell you is it's not an easy exam. It's a difficult exam to pass. Having taken it several years ago, you've actually pushed back against monopolistic legislation in several states. It's almost like you're one of those fire jumpers. You know, when like a fire breaks out in one of those western states, you have to like parachute in and put out the fire. California would have allowed RDs to provide independent medical nutrition therapy without the supervision of a physician or surgeon, but the CNS certificate holders would not have had that competitive advantage. I think that got pushed back against. New Jersey would allow only licensed RDs and no other qualified nutritional professionals to engage in medical nutritional therapy. Gee, I guess that might even mean MDs. Maybe we were not considered qualified to talk to people about nutrition, and maybe rightly so, because many MDs are woefully misinformed about nutrition.
Yes, you're a rare exception, Ron, but actually MDs do have nutrition practice in their scopes of practice, so MDs don't have that, although many of them should, you're right, compared to some of us that may run up against that.
Right. I wasn't required to have a CNS qualification to administer nutrition advice and treatment to my patients, but I just thought it was a valuable credential in a process that I wanted to go through to validate my nutritional expertise and actually to lend support to the CNS movement, because I thought it was an important movement across the country. New York had a couple of bills, Assembly Bill 1388, Senate Bill 4999, which would have had a similar impact as the New Jersey bills. And so are they still actively trying to stamp out competition in New York State?
Indeed, they are. So New York State has a bit of a backstory, and you probably know it, but the listening audience may not, in that for the past 10 years or so, New York has had a certification regime, not a licensing regime. And what that means is that you may not call yourself a certified dietitian nutritionist, but you still may practice nutrition without being certified. And so that's been the case for many, many years, at least 10 that I know of. And so many CNSs in New York have opted out. They haven't gotten that certification just because it is meeting the exact requirements almost of the RD credential. So
right.
As in many states, those are how those laws are written. And so in 2011, a new bill came forth prompting Senator Lavelle to bring this bill forward that would change the certification to a scope of practice law. And what that would mean is that licensed dietitian nutritionists would have to follow almost exactly the RD pathway to be licensed, and all others would be performing a legal activity were they to be practicing nutrition in the state of New York. So it's really a dire circumstance for the nutrition profession if this were to go through. We have been, BCNS leadership and local folks from New York have been at the table with the legislators' aides and the legislators at times, and the New York Dietetic Association and the national AND people. It's been a big challenge, honestly, because when you're working from a bill to amend a bill to a fair bill from an exact RDA or ADA bill, it's very, very difficult because at every turn there's something else to need an amendment. So we are still at the table and we're very hopeful, and we've been assured that nothing will go through until parity and equity has been established. But now we're going on year 3 or 4, so it's wearing, it's expensive. We have a lobbyist in New York, a lobbyist in New Jersey. So,
well, yeah, you're chairing the outreach and legislative committee of the BCNS, the Board for Certification of Nutrition Specialists. But the ADA, that's a big group. That's a big money group too. Do they have a lot of clout legislatively? Do they have the ear of a lot of legislators? Do they hire lobbyists to advance their cause?
They do. So they have very, very strong clout. And we know that they're underwritten by big food and, the circumstance is not really very savory. But
They take money from soft drink manufacturers? Do they take money from the wheat board? Do they take money from the meat board or any of the organizations that, quote, promote agriculture in America?
Yes. Those that you named, I don't know if those are exactly accurate, but it's organizations or corporations like those. So big food, whether it be
Kraft and so on.
Coca-Cola or Kraft, yeah. And so we've seen a lot in the media about going to the AND conference, and unfortunately it looks like a junk food trade show is their exhibit floor. So, yeah, so that's what we're up against.
Better living through chemistry sometimes, right?
Right, right. And so one of the initiatives that the BCNS has launched over the past couple of years that we're really proud of is it's called the Center for Nutrition Advocacy. And here we have a clearinghouse for the pending state regulations where one can go to this website. It's nutritionadvocacy.org. Click on a state and see what the landscape looks like for your health profession. So it's really designated for all health professionals that use nutrition as a tool in practice. And so we alert you to to existing bills and give background information. And so it's been really very helpful in our efforts, and folks have told us that it's really helped them a lot to understand what they're up against.
I'm gonna ask a sort of a devil's advocate question, which is, how do we know that the people who are administering nutrition information? I mean, look, I'm in New York City, and you can get nutrition information of dubious quality from virtually every street corner. Everybody has a different idea of what's right, from raw foods, diet, juicing, macrobiotics, to paleo, no carb, low carb, high fat, low fat. It's kind of like the Tower of Babel. So you can understand that the legislators, some of them well-meaning, would say, hey, we do need a basic proficiency, and so why not go through this RD process? Everybody should go through a general process, and then you want to do some advanced studies. Like I went to medical school, some of the stuff that I learned in medical school, I'm not that happy about, the very, very aggressive use of drugs and surgery, but I kind of had to suck it up, learn it, and then I added different skills to my armamentarium and choose not to use some of the modalities that I was taught in medical school. What about the RD certification? Why shouldn't everyone go through that? This is a devil's advocate kind of provocative question.
Yes, it certainly is. Well, I mean, first of all, we have our own credential that we feel far exceeds the RD credential in that it's really a medical model credential, dietetics, right? And so it came out of an institutional foundation where dietetics was really a food service designation. And so it remains kind of firmly fixed in that model, which isn't really workable when you translate that to the kind of chronic disease we see across America. So, and the credential is a bachelor's degree, it's a supervised experience and an exam, all reflecting that bias in a way towards food service management and quantity foods and coursework like that. And in fact, 38% of the RD exam is focused in that direction. So what does that tell us really about the preparation for the onslaught of chronic disease transformation that we're really, the mandate, I think, is for nutrition professionals in the United States? So, and then I think the second part of your question that you didn't really frame as a question, but I'm going to throw this out there too, is that, okay, there's lots of people talking about nutrition, and when the AND goes into a state to talk to legislators, the first argument that they point to is this idea of protecting the public from harm. And so what we found in our research, and we delve deep into the research in the states, is that there is little or no evidence of harm. There's very, very tiny bit of evidence from harm. There's so much more harm done by having a muzzle on who can practice meaningful nutrition care, in my opinion.
So that's, I think, a very persuasive argument for allowing, shall we say, some diversity in terms of credentialing for nutrition professionals. Okay, this is a good inflection point for us to pause, because we divide our podcast into two parts. Let's stipulate this is part one. And when we return, we're going to continue our discussion with Corinne Bush, who's a clinical nutritionist. She's also on the Board for Certification of Nutrition Specialists, and she is the proud owner of a CNS credential, as I am. She's a certified nutrition specialist. And we're going to talk a little bit about our right to access healthcare professionals of our choice, and how state legislation and federal legislation may be impinging upon those rights, but we're doing something about it. And when we return in part two, we'll talk about the latest victory that may be a milestone for the BCNS in the state of Michigan. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, our guest Corinne Bush, and this is Intelligent Medicine.